This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with Jim Brown. He was the publisher of the authorized biography of Edwin Washington Edwards, written by Leo Honeycutt. And now his target, Edwin Edwards, is making news. He'll be at the Baton Rouge Press Club today. Unless he changes his mind in the next few hours, he'll be announcing his candidacy for the 6th District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives being vacated by Bill Cassidy. Edwin Edwards first went to Capitol Hill in 1965, so right at 50 years later, he's trying to return. Can he do it? We'll talk with Jim Brown about the resilience of the Cajun Prince, a man who's only lost once in a long and distinguished political career. How will his legacy be affected by this venture? We'll talk about it. But first, the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number outside the area. Please call 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Our guest is Jim Brown, one of the most successful Louisiana politicos of his time or any time. Elected Secretary of State in 1979 and 1983. And elected insurance commissioner in 1991, 95, and 99, and a former state senator at that. His loss in 1987 in his quest to become governor was in a race that featured Edwin Edwards, also Edwin Edwards' only loss in his long and distinguished political career. And today, Edwin Edwards is about to make news, and Jim Brown knows the man well. And this is one of those days that political junkies are getting their fix.
Just been amazing, Jim, about the buzz in coffee shops and really just with a lot of average citizens. Some shaking their head thinking, my gosh, at his age, why would he run for governor? Others very excited about Edwin Edwards. He is he's such an interesting character that almost defies description. Mardi Gras, the day Friday before Mardi Gras, I joined a number of elected officials, Burl Kane, warden up at Angola, a number of sheriffs, and we take a bus down to New Orleans and have lunch at a restaurant next to Galatoire's.
Really?
Governor Edwards shows up. So I'm out on the balcony, and the mayor is there, and most of the elected officials in the city are there. And people say, hey, mayor, there was a little crowd of 20 mm-hmm. people kind of throwing beads back and forth. Edwards walks out on the balcony, and you thought it was the Rolling Stones or something up there. All of a sudden, the crowd went from 20 to 400. Now, he was a personality. I'm not sure that all that crowd would have voted for him, but I just as amazing as how charismatic the man continues to be after all these years.
And New Orleans is not in the 6th District congressional configuration, so Edwin Edwards will be campaigning for votes if he announces, as he is expected to do in a few hours, as a candidate in this district. He'll be campaigning in places like Baton Rouge, New Iberia, even Thibodaux. It's a district that goes down well into Acadiana, and Edwards, of course, has long done well in those places, as he has in most parts of the state. What do you think about his viability at this point?
Well, the district was gerrymandered to be a Republican district. The legislature did that specifically for Bill Cassidy, took a number of African-American voters, for example, out of the district, put those into New Orleans district. So normally it would be a Republican district, and no matter how qualified a Democrat would be, it'd be very tough. But again, there's the Edwards factor of the uncertainty, and as you pointed out, although he may not do well in Baton Rouge, he has a lot of appeal going down the river, going down to Cajun country, all the way to Thibodaux, Laplace, Napoleonville, all through Ascension, areas that he always ran well in for governor. And so so normally you'd say, no, he doesn't have much of a chance, or a Democrat doesn't have much of a chance, but he's just not the typical Democrat. He'll get a solid vote there. I think he's a cinch to be in the runoff. Which is kind of interesting there, too. You see, he won't have to spend much money at all to get in the runoff. The other candidates are looking for one runoff spot, and they have to not – I don't think they're going to say much about him. They need to beat up on their other opponents to get into the runoff. So they'll spend a lot of money, and Edwards can save his money for the runoff. That's a big plus for him, I think. And so then it's a question of in the runoff, can he put together the coalition? all kinds of interesting dynamics in this race, Jim. Mary Landrieu, for example, although she and the senator and although she and the governor have never been politically close and even may have some animosity between the two of them, they're both kind of in bed together in this race. So if Mary gets into a runoff, which I think she certainly is, and Edwards is in a runoff, they're going to have to share their resources. And actually, Mary Landrieu's efforts to get out her vote helps Edwin Edwards. So lots of dynamics in this race yet to be explored.
We're getting into December when the runoff will take place, and Edwin Edwards by then will be 87 years old. His three best-known challengers at this point, if you can call them challengers. I guess they're all seeking an open spot, but Edwards is the best-known. The three are Garrett Graves, Dan Clater, and Paul Dietzel. So one of those would be, at this point, considered to be likely to be in a runoff with the Cajun Prince, Edwin Edwards. This is reminiscent of the 1987 governor's election.
Very much so, where you had, and I was in that race, but some wonderfully qualified candidates in that race. Congressman Billy Tozan, Bob Livingston goes on to be Speaker of the House in Washington.
Almost.
What?
He almost Speaker of the House. Remember, he resigned when Clinton was
just
impeached.
Before.
Yeah,
you're right.
He cost the state a whole lot.
You had, of course,
lot.
Buddy Romer, who won that race. And so you had some very well-qualified race. So you're right. This congressional race will have some very qualified people. Now, the question is, some people, I was with a young lady. I was in a conversation with someone, and the young lady behind the counter was about 19. She says, oh, he's too old. Will that age be a factor? And I said something to him about that. We were down in New Orleans. I said, do you think that age is going to be an issue in this campaign? And he says, well, I hope not. I think it would be very, very unfair to make age an issue, because I don't think it's fair to beat up on my opponents with their inexperience and their young age. I'm not going to make it an issue about how young they are, and I hope nobody else does too. So,
Edwards borrowing that from Ronald Reagan, who used it against Walter Mondale in 1984. But Edwards, last time he was on a ballot, he was 64 years old. That was 1991. His wife was still, she was still in grade school at the time, his current wife. He's been on the sidelines, as we know, 8.5 years in prison, too, during that last 23 years. But the only race he ever lost was in 1987, and he was headed for a runoff in that race and decided that it was a useless endeavor against Buddy Romer, who had caught fire and was the media darling, supported by all the major newspapers in the state. I was at the Monteleone that night. In fact, you were in New Orleans. You were a candidate. I know you came over to the Monteleone to find out what the heck Edwards was going to do. And then it was about 2 o'clock. It was very early in the morning of October 23rd, I think, 1987. Edwards comes out, and much to the chagrin of his supporters, he made a big announcement then that he would not proceed. Here's how it sounded in October of 1987 when Edwin Edwards threw in the towel in his only electoral defeat.
Under the circumstances, since I did not run first, that it would be inappropriate for me to continue this election. Please hear me out. Please hear me out. Please hear me out. I have to do what I think is best for my state. I don't want it further divided. There's never been a time in modern history when the combined efforts of the media has been so bent and dedicated on taking over the governor's office.
That was 1987, 27 years ago. It's a vivid memory. I remember that night as though it were last night.
Well, I remembered it because I got shellacked pretty good in that race. So I'll tell you what, his getting out of that race, quite frankly, kept Buddy Romer from getting a huge consensus victory. Buddy Romer ended up getting votes from about 23% of the electorate. So he was never able to put together that mandate he would have gotten in the runoff. And it may be the first step in Edwards' calculated effort to undermine Romer and come back and run 4 years later. So
he did.
Interesting that he got out, really did damage to Buddy Romer.
He did, and he won in 1991 against David Duke. He got in a runoff with him rather than Romer, who would have been heavily favored in a runoff. And there's no David Duke, to my knowledge, in this race. So any opponent he gets into a runoff with this time is pretty much of a fresh face. And I would think it would be tough for him to win. Can he win this race, Jim Brown?
Well, of course, you know, I threw out the charisma factor and all these issues, and then turnout's going to be a huge, huge factor. Can Mary Landrieu and Edwin Edwards generate a Democratic-type vote to get out to go out to the polls? When you have the runoff and there's going to be very little else on the ballot, it's not going to be a big turnout. On the other hand, if Edwards is able to raise significant campaign funds, one of the problems for the other candidates is it's so crowded that it's going to be hard for any of them to really define themselves until they get into the runoff. Edwards may have the ability to define them for themselves, whether they like it or not. And so I think you're going to see a very negative campaign in the runoff. And like I say, the district is not a Democratic district. You can make 10 or 12 issues out there as to why a Democrat can't win, the normal circumstances. Mm-hmm. But these are not the normal circumstances. So there are a lot of ifs and uncertainties out that way about the charisma I talked about. Is that just because he's a personality and they like him? They'd like someone who has a lot of name recognition, but they're not too crazy about? Or is there genuine strong feelings for this fellow who... I think that's for him to define in the campaign. You know, why do you want the race at your age? Can you really make any difference in Congress that seems to be completely polarized? I think that how articulate mm-hmm. he's going to be is going to make the difference in what a lot of those independents or undecided voters are going to do. And so I don't rule him out. I think he can win the election, but he's got a huge fight on his hands, and how he defines himself is going to be very critical to whether he wins or not.
I'm sure it'll be done with humor. He is a great quipster to this day, and no doubt he will be the funniest candidate in the race, and people like people, especially those who are somewhat self-deprecating in their humor. And Edwards has always had an amazing gift going back to 1983, and his most famous quote was, "The only way I can lose to Dave Treen is if I get caught in bed with a dead girl or a live boy." That was Edwin Edwards circa 1983, and he beat Treen almost 2-1, a sitting governor at the time.
Said a lot of things on Treen. Remember the great quote about the fact that it takes Dave Treen an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. So he was very hard on Dave Treen. Interesting, though, and this will be a factor in the race, is there some sympathy factor for the way he was treated in that trial? Dave Treen came to his defense and said, yes, it was, that the judge and the prosecutors did not play fairly, that there was a lot of unjust activities took place in that case.
That's a nice segue to the date of May 9th, 2000, almost 14 years ago, if you can believe it, May 9th, 2000. Edwin Edwards convicted, I think, on 17 counts. And he comes out before the media with his then-wife, Candy, and he announced to the world that he was a beaten man, but, of course, he did it in his usual unique style.
The Chinese have a saying that if you sit by the river long enough, the dead body of your enemy will come floating down the river. I suppose the feds sat by the river long enough, so here comes my body.
That was Edwin Edwards in 2000. I think we have one more cut, Sashika, from that day 14 years ago. Here's Edwin Edwards on what he would do as a convicted felon.
I regret that it has ended this way, but that is the system. I live 72 years of my life within the system. I'll spend the rest of my life within the system.
And he has done that.
Served his time and back out and just didn't disappear or shy away. Came out, good gosh, after the Leo Honeycutt book. I don't know of a Rotary Club or a civic club in the state that he's not talked to in the past year. And, you know, WWL Television in New Orleans ran a poll about the most popular governors in this century. And number one was Edwin Edwards. So all those factors are in play right there. By the way, your dead body's coming back. It's interesting to note, and I think Edwards may say this at the press club, that the prosecutor in his case, the U.S. attorney, and
okay.
the second...
They've all had problems. We'll talk about that okay. when we return with Jim Brown. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. 877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org if you'd like to pose a question online. But we always encourage people to call in if possible. HB in Denham Springs. HB, you're on the air with Jim Brown.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Brown, last week I think Mr. Jim had a guest on his show, Mr. Stonecipher. He was basically talking about politics in Louisiana and the reputation that we have in the state as a whole, not only within our state, but on a national level, being negative in conjunction with the money and unethical politics that we have here, knowing that people in Louisiana like their politics hot and spicy as they do their food. How does your opinion compare with that of Mr. Stonecipher? Thank you, sir.
Well, that's a good question, and I have a lot of respect for Elliot Stonecipher. He's one of the best political minds in the state. Sometimes he can be a little too negative. There's a balance out there. Look, we like our politics hot and spicy, but, you know, I've got relatives in Mississippi who are involved in politics, and I was with a federal judge over there having lunch not too long ago. And you know, every state has their unique problems and their unique way of approaching their political life. Maybe we're a little bit more outward in that vein. But when you look at I think the best point you made was the money being such a huge driving force. If you look at the PAC money, I see that Senator David Vitter has raised, and what Mary Landrieu will spend on her reelection campaign, and money has been it's called the mother's milk of politics. I think it's been a corruptive factor of having to spend all that money. I don't know what they'll spend in this congressional race, but if it comes down to where the House of Representatives may be in play, both national parties will flood in here with millions and millions of dollars. I think that's wrong. I think we need to really tighten up our campaign spending, and that would really help our image around the rest of the country, in my opinion.
Who will be involved in Edwards' campaign?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, he pretty much has always run his own campaign, number one. But number two, he's always had good consultants and pollsters, and I don't know what kind of a team he's put together at this stage. But we will know today. I mean, officially he's not a candidate, and I think particularly in the federal election, Jim, you can't go spending money and running polls and doing all these things without officially filing your papers. So until he announces, and I'm assuming he'll file his papers today, he really won't be spending money. But I would imagine he'll announce his team today at the press club.
297-5633 for Jim Brown, who's been around for almost as long as Edwin Edwards. He's a much younger man, but Edwards is 86. He'll be 87 on August the 7th, and he is trying to return to Congress 50 years after his arrival in 1965. Here's a question from John in New Roads. What will happen if we have a Michael Jackson candidate to kneecap Edwards in a manner similar to what was done to Don Cashew? If a prominent African-American were to get in the race, Edwards might not make a runoff.
I think that Don Cashew, who's a great U.S. attorney and good legislator, was probably lost his election because of that. Having said that, Edwin Edwards is very unique in terms of his relationship with the black community. I don't think that you're going to see a major black candidate who can fund any type of a race. I just don't see the same Michael Jackson scenario taken over. Edwards has always gotten a very solid vote in the African-American community. And I don't care who runs. I don't think it'll make a difference, quite frankly.
297-5633 for Jim Brown. Colonel Henry Johnson at the Country Club of Louisiana says Jim Brown knows that Edwin Edwards is able to raise necessary funds. He was in the room at the Monteleone for the governor's birthday roast. He was even a roaster and saw all the money in that room alone. Iwi forever, writes Colonel Johnson. So
Well, Edwards, certainly, you know, he's raised millions and millions of dollars over the years, and I'm sure that there are loyal friends that will contribute, and I don't think he'll have a problem raising money. I think the interesting thing I mentioned before is he's not going to have to spend any money to get into the runoff of any significance where the other candidates are. So the other candidates will start off pretty much broke, and he'll come in with his war chest, and that's going to be a big advantage for him, quite frankly, one way to overcome the Republican district in which he's running.
297-5633, still time to get in with Jim Brown. John in Lafayette. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning. Gentlemen, I would think maybe you know about this. In the history of the United States, how many times has a convicted federal felon who served 8 years in a federal prison served in the House of Representatives in Congress?
I don't know. Jim, more of a historian than me. I remember there was Jim Trafunta or something
Trafficant,
like that.
Trafficant, Jim Trafficant.
The Ohio congressman who was convicted and ran for reelection while he was in prison. He did not win that race, mm-hmm. but I think we're going to have a hard time finding anyone. I know there's a judge in Florida mm-hmm. who was impeached by the Congress. And after his impeachment, he runs for Congress and gets elected. But I think we're going to have a hard time finding anyone who's been in jail, particularly as long as Governor Edwards, and come back and run. Which is another factor in the race. Is there a redemption factor? I mean, Louisianians, and most people are pretty forgiving. I think how he handles what happened in the past, and I don't know if he makes a mea culpa or what he does, but the fact remains that there is a forgiving element that may work to his benefit. You know, the U.S. attorney that charged him had to resign in disgrace. The lead prosecutor, Jim Linton, who became U.S. attorney then, resigned in disgrace. Governor Dave Train, a strong Republican, just castigated the federal judge in his case, saying how fair he was. So is there a sympathy factor, Jim? I mean, I don't know, but is there a sympathy factor for Edwards by saying that, hey, let's give the guy a shot. He didn't get treated very well. So maybe not to everybody, mm-hmm. but to 3 or 4% of the mm-hmm. population, that maybe makes a difference in the election.
You know how on election day the media will often follow candidates to the polls and show them going into the voting booth? Well, Edwin Edwards can't do that unless he gets a presidential pardon because of his status as a convicted felon. Harry Truman pardoned.
He can vote. No, Edwin
he
Edwin,
can vote.
No,
in
no.
This.
If you're a convicted felon, once you've served your probation period, then you can go ahead and vote in elections. Some states you can't. And
his probation is obviously over. Then.
Yes, but when your probation is over, you can re-register to vote, and you're so he's very eligible
and
to vote.
You went
for
through
himself.
The same thing.
Do what?
You went through the
very
same.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, in the last trial, Edwin Edwards was tried with you. And the prosecutor, you mentioned discredited prosecutors, the guy who tried you got caught up in this internet scam down in New Orleans.
First of all, every major figure in the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Orleans is either under investigation or has resigned in disgrace. So now that's not, you know, that doesn't defend or justify anyone's actions, but it's just interesting in terms of will that create a sympathy factor for him? Maybe not to many people, but we're talking about 3 or 4% to make a difference in an election.
Okay. Now, Harry Truman pardoned Richard Lesch, a Louisiana governor who went to prison, and it would seem that under the circumstances, President Obama, who's got a lot on his plate right now, he might consider pardoning Edwin Edwards. Do you know of any orchestrated effort right now to make that happen?
I don't have any idea, but I'm sure there might be some talk around the White House. Look, we've got this new congressman coming up here from Louisiana who's a convicted felon. Should we go ahead and pardon him? In fact, if Edwin Edwards is elected and Mary Landrieu would be defeated, then you'd have Edwin Edwards as probably the titular head of the Democratic Party in the state of Louisiana. So that would be an issue that some would bring. On the other hand, Obama has not been very aggressive in pardoning anyone. George Bush pardoned at this stage in his career many more people than Obama. Obama has not pardoned many, many people. So, but I've not heard anything about that.
I've got a flurry of emails, and I'm going to try to get to as many of them as possible. And if you'd like to call and be on the air anywhere you are, 877-217-5757. Tracy at the Capitol wants to know the prosecutor in your trial with Edwin Edwards. His name, Sal
Perricone. No, if Jim Linton was the lead prosecutor.
He was the U.S. attorney.
Who became U.S. attorney and has had resigned from office. Perricone, a lot of your listeners who kind of follow the New Orleans issues know that Perricone got a bunch of assumed names mm-hmm. and got on the Times-Picayune website and put a lot of inside information and slanderous comments, and he was forced to resign his post, and now he's under investigation. The federal judge in one of the cases down there has accused Perricone of lying to him in federal court.
Well, do you take any solace in this, the fact that the prosecutor, one of the main prosecutors, is now on the ropes himself?
You mean the Edwards case?
In the Edwards case and your case.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Edwards, you know, he talks about standing by the river and seeing your enemies come by. Well, in this case, he's seen his enemies come on by. I don't get any solace on that. Well, I think a lot of your listeners know what happened to me. You know, when your jurors call press conferences and say they made a huge mistake and what happened was outrageous, and I'll be glad to go into my situation sometime with you, Jim. But look, life goes on. As long as you got your health and your family, you move forward. Beating up on the past doesn't help you psychologically, doesn't serve any good purpose, in my opinion.
Well, Edwin Edwards, in a few conversations I've had with him the last few weeks, he's acknowledged that you are I don't think he's just bluffing either. Says you've inspired him, Jim Brown, who's been an opponent and a friend, and you ended up publishing his book. And his book, there weren't a lot of people standing in line to publish the Edwin Edwards biography. It's the most successful book ever published in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's the largest selling book in the history of Louisiana by a Louisiana author. And I think it did a great deal for Edwards. I don't think people knew of his history, his background, and maybe some of the things he did in the 70s. Leo Honeycutt, who I'd hired to write the book, did just a fantastic job of characterizing Edwards, and he put in the good and the bad and the highs and the lows. But I think it sold well over 100,000 copies, and a lot of people's opinions were changed by that book. And if you're listening out there, I hope you'll go out and buy the book, because I'm the publisher, and I'll make a few bucks
yeah.
off of it.
All right.
And if I can mention my website, too, Jim Brown, jimbrownla.com has all about the book and all we're talking about right there on the website, Jim.
Jim's been busy as a publisher and a talk show host and a syndicated columnist, so he has not rested on his laurels. As Silas writes, does Jim Brown think the new media tools might make it possible one day to run an effective political campaign on the cheap?
The
new media tools. Right now, Edwards is getting a lot of free media, this included, and shows like this. He'll be on this show tomorrow. He's a guy who doesn't need the necessities that most candidates need to run a viable campaign.
I think it's a good question because of the social media. I'm told, is going to have a very aggressive campaign with Facebook, with Twitter, with his website. And because this election could turn on the millennials, what people under 30 think, who don't read newspapers, don't read television.
And the last time he was on a ballot, they were 7 years old.
Most of them were even born, maybe, in some way. You're right. And so how do you get to those young folks? I got a 29-year-old son in New Orleans who says, Dad, I don't read the newspapers, but I stay very well attuned through the social media. So how aggressively he goes after those young folks and uses those tools, and his wife, Trina, has, I believe, about 11,000 followers on her Facebook page. So she knows how to handle that kind of thing, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if Edwards is very, very aggressive in the social media and trying to communicate with young people.
All right. I'm going to get to a few more emails. This one from Leonard Joseph. What will be the platform of Edwards? What will be the issues he will stress in this campaign?
Well, and I'm going to be interested. I'm going to the press conference today, and Jim, you're the president of the whole press association and for his press speech. I want to hear what he says about Obamacare, for example. It's a very hot issue here in this state and may be the issue that defeats Mary Landrieu, quite frankly. What does he think about health care for our state? What does he think about some of these issues, turning down all these federal funds as Governor Jindal has done for health? What about this Keystone Pipeline? What's his feeling about these lawsuits going on involving the wetlands? So I can't tell you his platform, but we'll hear it today, and I'll be interested to hear it today. And by the way, I'm sure you, Jim, will quiz him heavily on that tomorrow, so your listeners can get his platform right here on this show tomorrow.
Okay, a couple other questions. Steve Miley, emailing from Dublin, Ireland. on St. Patrick's Day. That's appropriate. It says, does Jim acknowledge that he or Edwards did anything wrong?
Well, I can't speak for Edwin Edwards. I think I've written books about my situation and all.
By the way, the Justice Denied, very, very well written book.
Yeah. I've written books about saying how outrageous was the treatment that I had, and I've said that all along. I've had virtually every major newspaper in this state write columns saying how unfairly I was treated, how wrong it was. And I can tell you that I've had one of my jurors call a press conference saying she's talked to the rest of the jurors. They'd seen the information available at the trial that was hidden from them, I think illegally, that they would have come up with a different result.
Well,
but look, it's up to your listeners to make that judgment, and I've moved on for it. And as you said, I write columns. I'm very opinionated. I do my radio talk shows, and I like to talk about these issues, and people judge me like they judge you, Jim, and everybody else.
Well, the point that Elliot Stonecipher, the major point he was making Friday, is that Democratic candidates through the years have used get-out-the-vote methods to stimulate voter turnout, primarily in the African-American community. And Elliot, I think, believes that is vote-buying. But 75 of the 81 positions on university higher education boards in this state are appointed by the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal. I would bet every one of those 75 people on those boards contributed to Governor Jindal's campaign. Isn't that vote buying,
too? There's been columns about writing about that. So, we can analyze that at length. But first of all, I would tell you that the massive organizational efforts by groups in Baton Rouge and New Orleans is nothing like it used to be. You just don't have that. You do have some leadership voices in the black community, in the right to life community that speak out very forcefully, raise money or take money and support candidates. But it's nothing like it was, say, 10, 15 years ago. Elliot makes a point, but I don't think that's really all that relevant within the campaign itself. Getting out the vote, that's going to be the issue for Mary Landrieu and Edwin Edwards combined in terms of a runoff about getting their voters to the polls. And it costs money to do that just to communicate. So,
well, and if somebody doesn't have transportation, I don't know that there's anything sinister about finding transportation for them to get to vote if you think those people are likely to vote for you.
And that's done all over the country, both within Republican ranks and Democratic ranks. So I've got a former roommate in college whose son's running for county commissioner up in Kentucky. Yeah. And the election's close at hand. They're organizing a big get-out-the-vote and getting drivers to take people to the polls. And so that's nothing unique or different than in Louisiana and other states.
And I've got a flurry of emails that I won't be able to get to all of, but here's an interesting one regarding state prisoners. And in many cases, they're allowed to vote. You say Edwin Edwards will be allowed to vote as a convicted.
State prisoners are there's no difference between state and federal prisoners. It's federal, it's state law that sets that purpose. A state prisoner in jail cannot vote, although in some states you can, like Ohio, you can. But a state prisoner gets out, gets off probation, and then regains his right or her right to vote.
If they're in jail for, let's say, a DWI or some misdemeanor, can they vote in those cases?
If it's a felony,
they
felony,
cannot vote.
The key is a felony.
But if they're in jail for a misdemeanor, conceivably you could send a bus out to the the jailhouse, and if they could get out, they could vote. But we've got a few other emails we'll get to, and if you have a question, we might be able to slide one or two in on the air for Jim Brown and some other surprises in our last segment. 297-5633 is your number. Back in 90 seconds on WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. A few more minutes with Jim Brown, the longtime Louisiana politico, who is former Secretary of State, former Insurance Commissioner, and former State Senator, a world record.
Louisiana statesman, not political. Statesman,
right? Right, statesman. We'll go with that. Yeah, like my guy Frenchie at Louis, he says, warrior, statesman, fry cook. So Jim Brown is a statesman. And today, a statesman of renown, Edwin Washington Edwards, will step before the masses at the Baton Rouge Press Club, and he will announce his candidacy for Congress. Rick Causey writes, Bobby Jindal should take note at how well Edwards relates to the people of Louisiana. And I think that's a bit unfair to Jindal. There's only one Edwin Edwards out there. You're not trained to be a personality like Edwin Edwards.
Well, but that's one of the huge factors in success is the fact that, no governor. I think you take the last three governors and add up the times they made personal appearances, and combined they won't add up to what Edwards did. He'd go to any event, anything you invited to, he'd go. When he goes into the crowds or he's walking down the street on Bourbon Street, he stops and speaks to every single person. He hugs all the ladies, kisses all the babies, and stays as long as necessary, so that he feels is necessary. So the very personal touch, the retail politics, if you will, is something that whether you like the guy or not, he's been the very best.
Okay, I wanted to have a chance to respond to this because we've been skirting around the edges, and Annie writes that we haven't talked about what you did to be a federal inmate. You must have done something really, really bad.
yeah. Well, I have an FBI agent that came into my office some years back, and like I've had many. You know, when I was insurance commissioner, I shut down 50 insurance companies. Come on in. We had about a 15-minute conversation. Can I take notes? Sure. He wrote it all down, exactly what I said about a particular case. It was kind of an innocuous case. The state did not lose one penny. Taxpayers are not out one penny. So like 5 years later, I'm charged with making false statements to the FBI. And, of course, they said, hey, if you can tell us something about Edwin Edwards, this will all go away. Well, I didn't know anything to tell them about Edwin Edwards. So I got, of the 15 false statements, I got convicted of making 5 of the 15. I said, look, I didn't say that. The agent said, yes, you did. I said, well, let's see your notes. You wrote it all down. If the notes say that, mm-hmm. then I agree I said that. Oh, no, you can't see the notes. I'm the only person in the history of America that did not get the handwritten notes when it went up to the Supreme Court or to the Court of Appeals. Everybody else has gotten the notes. Another fellow in my case got the notes, but I couldn't mm-hmm. get the handwritten notes that showed I told the truth. Well, when they came out about 2 years later, one of my jurors immediately calls a press conference and said, this is ridiculous. I've talked to the other jurors. We've seen the notes now after 2 years. Why didn't they, if they had nothing to hide, why didn't they give us the notes? And the notes showed I was right. telling the truth. But by that time, I'd served my time, my 6 months up at Oakdale, which actually, except for the honor of the title, it wasn't all that bad, Jim. I got in the best shape of my life, read 125 books in 6 months, lost weight. My body fat went from 21 to 9, which is what a marathon runner runs. And so it was, you know, the feds paid for me a pretty nice, like going to a health spa
Not really. Edwin Edwards has noted that life is much harder on the outside than on the inside. He says, I need to go back to prison and get some rest.
Well, we joke about, hey, you got to joke about it because what happened was so wrong. So I make light of it, and I write about it a good bit. There was a case here just last week.
Well, what about these 32 people in today's paper who got charged with DWI after the St. Paddy's Day parade Saturday in Baton Rouge? You know, we encourage people to participate. We really encourage them to drink, and then there are these DWI checkpoints right outside the parade. The 32 people are in the newspaper this morning. What do you think of this?
Well, I will tell you this. I was at the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and many people on the floats were imbibing and many people on the route. But, you know, it is a very dangerous thing to drink and drive. It's one of the major factors to why our insurance rates are the highest in America for auto insurance. And so the police did what they thought they should do, and I think you need to be, you know, get okay. a designated driver, and you'll have no problem in a case like that. But they did it, and you're right. The 32 different DWIs, usually it's like
there
five
were four,
or seven.
Four in yesterday's paper, 32 today. Well, so you, something happened Saturday. I wonder what that was.
There was some little neighborhood parade, I think, that went on. And
owned by Pat Shingleton.
That's right, and he did a great job, a wonderful parade. I went with my nieces, grandnieces, and my granddaughter. Had a wonderful time.
All right. Well, as we part company with Jim Brown, I do want to play a cut from 2001 when Edwin Edwards reported to federal prison. Actually, it's 2002. He had a couple of years where he was appealing. Then he finally went, and Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network caught him at his house. Phone rang. Edwards was getting in the car ready to go. And this showed Edwin Edwards, even with the fate that was meeting him, going to jail for 8 years, he still had his usual charm.
Yes, it's here. As it's come, it's also passed, and there will be other days. This one is not a good one, but I've had many, many good ones in my life for which I'm very thankful, and I certainly want to express again my appreciation to my family and my friends who have been so supportive through this ordeal.
What has this past weekend been like for you?
In a way, wonderful. It's brought my family and me together on many occasions. We're a great deal closer than we ever were. Tragedy has a way of doing that to people. And we've learned to appreciate life and to appreciate our freedoms. On the other hand, we had to face the reality of this Monday morning coming, and here it is.
What do you expect in federal prison?
I have no way of knowing. When I was 17 years old, I volunteered to join the Naval Air Corps during World War II. I left my home as a country lad, didn't know what to expect. I went to serve my country. Thank goodness I didn't have to fight. But I left my home not knowing what to expect, and so it is today. I can say this, whatever is handed to me, I will accept. I will abide by the rules, and I will be a good prisoner.
And that was, well, almost 12 years ago, and Edwin Edwards has been out of jail now for 3.5 years, and today he will announce his candidacy for the U.S. House of Representatives in the 6th Congressional District, and he will be an interesting fellow on the campaign trail for the next several months. 297-5633 is your number. We're joined now by Sandy Winchell. She is Executive Director of the Louisiana Developmental Disabilities Council, and Ashley McReynolds, who is also affiliated with this group. And come Wednesday at the Capitol at 1 o'clock, there will be a rally, the Disability Rights Rally, to support individual and family supports and services. Now, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And this is something that I know is near and dear, and of course there are budget discussions going on as we speak. How does it look as far as restoring some of the cuts that were made over the last few years?
It looks pretty good, Jim. The governor in his proposed budget included funding to fill 1,000 currently vacant slots, and then added funding for 200 additional waiver slots. And so we just need the legislature to keep that money in the budget, and that'll be certainly a portion of what would help people with disabilities very much. That's 1,200 people that would come off of the top of the waiting list, which is currently at 11,000.
1,200 of 11,000, so that still leaves 9,800 people.
It does, but it is a step in the right direction, and it would be a lot more than we've gotten in the past few years. And for those 1,200 people that would get the services, that would be vitally important and beneficial to them. And they have been waiting the longest, probably about 9 years.
Okay. Now, last year there were some cuts. So those were not met well by many people, including you. Is that why we're having a rally this Wednesday?
We actually have a rally every year just to bring awareness to the need, and we've been doing it for probably about 10 years, and so, you know, we do it regardless. There's always a need for additional services, and the programs that have really been cut in recent years is a program called the Individual and Family Support Program. And another one, the Families Helping Families Centers across the state. And both of these services provide a lot of relief to families who are on the waiting list. And it helps them endure those 9 years because it does provide minimal assistance. So we are trying to get that money included in the budget to restore the cuts that have been made to those two programs.
And what is your involvement, Ashley?
I am, first and foremost, I'm a parent. I have two children, and my son Cooper has a developmental disability. He has Prader-Willi syndrome. And secondly, I am the Region 2 Lacan leader, and I support families and individuals in making connections with their legislators, bringing awareness to the supports and services that our families so desperately need to care for their loved ones in their homes.
Well, you must have made an impression because there has been some restoration of funding. I know the governor, of course, he took some heat last year when these curtailments were announced.
That is correct. The legislature had done amendments to the budget to increase the waiver services and those other two programs, individual and family support, families helping families, and a few others. And the governor did veto those programs, and individuals with developmental disabilities and parents were very disappointed in that. And you're right, they did make their thoughts known. And so we're really glad that this year the governor recognized the need for these services and has included the money in his budget.
But not as much as you would like.
We still are going to work on the individual and family support restoration and families helping families.
Well, it's this Wednesday at 1 o'clock on the Capitol steps, the Disability Rights Rally. And you'll see a lot of people there, I'm sure, but our two guests, of course, Sandy Winchell, the Executive Director of the Louisiana Developmental Disabilities Council, and Ashley McReynolds, Lacan Region 2 representative, will be attending, and I'm sure there are others who are intricately involved in this issue who will be on hand. So you invite the public, I would suspect.
We absolutely invite the public. We have a trademark yellow T-shirt. The back of it says a waiting list is not a service, and the front says it's time, because it is time to meet the needs of people who have been waiting. And you can actually call our office if you want a T-shirt, if you want to come.
And what's the number?
It's 800-4—oh, my goodness, I just forgot. Let's do Baton Rouge number, 225-342-6804.
225-342-6804. Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're joined in our remaining time by artist Billy Solitario. He'll be holding a workshop in conjunction with the Brush for Burden exhibition, which will feature local artists, and that's March 23rd through the 30th, which is, of course, just a few days away. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
What is in store for the people who will be coming to the Ag Center's Botanic Gardens at Burden? I think we've got some activities going on that just about everybody would appreciate.
Yeah, well, I'm actually I'm an artist here in New Orleans, and I'm going to be giving a little demonstration slash talk about my work, and then the show opens Saturday, and it's a art show, and it should be really nice. It's gonna. I saw all the work and was the judge for all of the visual art and not the photography, and that opens up. I think the opening reception is from 3 until. Wait, let me just check this.
Mm-hmm.
The opening reception is Saturday, the 22nd. From 36.
Okay. Well, you were born in California, but came to Louisiana as a relatively young person, didn't you? When were your artistic?
Actually, I came into my parents moved to Mississippi when I was one, and I grew up in Goshen and Pascagoula and
those
things in that area.
Now living in New Orleans.
Now living in New Orleans, came here in 96.
And your art reflects the landscape that you love.
Definitely, yep. A lot of clouds. I love New Orleans. In the summertime, I'm always outside painting the big cumulus nimbus clouds over the river. That's one of my favorite subjects. And also Louisiana landscape. I mean, Louisiana still lives in the wintertime. I'm in my studio doing big oysters and crabs and large-scale still lives.
Well, you are a product of the New Orleans Academy of Fine Arts.
Yes, yes. Very proud of that school. Oscar Zozals, who's the founder there, it's a great school here in New Orleans, and they're producing a lot of really talented artists.
Well, Billy Solitario, who is captivated by the coast and his art shows it, will be on hand, and the Brush with Burden exhibition will feature local artists March 23rd through the 30th, and so
it's
a week-long.
There's a phone number. If anybody's interested in finding out anything more about it, they can contact Margaret Blade at 225- 205-3105.
And that number again is Margaret Blades, 225-505-3105. And I'm sure there's some other artists of your caliber who will be featured as well.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, no. The show is filled with some really fantastically talented Louisiana artists.
Billy will be holding a workshop in tandem, 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday the 22nd, at the Burden Conference Center, located in the Botanic Gardens. And his lecture will appropriately cover landscapes and will include a demonstration on his approach to illustrating clouds and skyscapes. So that's this coming Saturday. And once again, the number, if you'd like more information, is 225-505-3105. So thank you very much, Billy Solitario, Pride of New Orleans, by way of Mississippi and California, coming this way this Saturday. Take care. And Edwin Washington Edwards will be at the Press Club in a few hours announcing his candidacy for the 6th District seat that is being vacated by Bill Cassidy, who's running for the U.S. Senate against Mary Landrieu. The event is open to the public, but only Press Club members and members of the media are allowed to pose questions. So Edwin Edwards, I'm sure, will have quite a crowd, as he usually does, and this will be a big day in his life. And at 86, he's doing something not often done by people who've been governor 16 years, congresspeople for 7 years, and a convicted felon in jail for 8 years. He's running for Congress. We'll talk about it tomorrow with him. Until then, for Sasha Gamarshan, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.